Hello and welcome to the Developing Dads podcast. I'm your host Neil, and alongside my brother Gordon, we're going to explore life as two young dads trying to figure this whole parenting thing out. Join us every Monday where we aim to share our thoughts on how we raise our families, invest our time, and explore things that interest us. Welcome to the Developing Dads podcast, episode number 71, on this fine Friday morning. Today, we're going to be chatting about being in the top 1% of podcasts, which kind of blew my mind when Gordon messaged me a few weeks ago with a screenshot. I think it was Alex Hormozi mentioned it in one of his podcasts, and it's now going a bit viral. But yeah, we're in the top 1%, which is cool. And that'll do for an intro. Like always, we...
Great.
Like always.
I'm so glad we've got such a... We're boasting about we're in the top 1%, and that's the highest quality intro on the internet, or for podcasts, quite frankly.
Yeah, and as soon as it came on, Gordon was like, you haven't prepped, have you? And I don't need to prep, because we're on episode number 71 now. I've done this for 71 hours, 71 weeks. So I feel like I'm a natural. Which, if you think about the kind of journey, my first ever podcast back in, like, was it January 2021, 2022? Yeah, 2022. I was super nervous. I almost, like, got clammy hands. But now it's just like, yes, we switch it on and let's go. So, like we
do... Hold on. Why do you think you were nervous about it? Like, what was significant about sitting down and having a chat podcast?
It's just something new. It's just something different I've never done before. Like, I was holding a microphone, or I had a microphone up like this, and yeah, it was just a new thing that I've never done. And I guess the fear of, like, sounding stupid, or the fear of sounding, yeah, I don't know.
It's a funny one, because we're not in front of an audience, right? We're literally just talking to each other, and it's a perception of an audience.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like, it's not like we're sat in a stadium with 100,000 people and we're about to perform in front of them, and, you know, we can't screw it up. Whereas it's literally just the two of us talking here, and the only thing that makes this different is because there's a microphone and it's being recorded. But even if it wasn't, like, we could record some of our FaceTime conversations if we wanted to. But I guess it's that stealing worry from the future, where it's like, yeah, someone's actually going to listen to this, and what are they going to think about it?
But,
yeah.
I do have moments of, like, and I noticed, you probably saw it as well, Rebecca liked one of the podcast's posts from last night on Facebook. And she never likes anything to do with the podcast. I'm like, did she listen to that? And, like, I had to play in my head, like, what did I say in it? Like, was it okay? It's like, always second guessing. Like, but I assume it was fine. I don't know if you ever go through that.
I don't really. I don't really tend to live life like that. Which is, it has its ups and downs. I mean, sometimes I'm not overly thinking about what other people think of me, I guess, in what I say and do. And I guess I live in weird ignorance of the idea that I'm willing to apologize over ask for forgiveness. If that makes sense.
That's fair. That's fair.
And that has got me a little bit in hot water sometimes with Laura, from maybe perhaps some of the topics that we've chosen. But, you know, I don't often think that I think it goes back to that thing you just talked about, with the idea that there's an audience and someone's going to hear it. You know, what does someone think? It's rarely, I'm not saying things that are going to, you know, get me arrested or... not cancelled, but who cares? Like, cancelling is kind of an opinion thing. But, like, arrested or in trouble for something, it's more, what are these people going to think if they hear about something we've talked about? Which, I guess, is, you know, it's just how some people operate, and that's what they want. But, yeah.
Yeah, there's, when I first joined the startup 2 or 3 years ago now, there was a kind of motto that we lived by, was like, I can't remember how it was written, but it was basically like, do something and ask for forgiveness later. So, like, we're running hard, we're trying to kind of...
Don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness.
That's it, yeah. We're trying to innovate and run hard and just, like, try things. And, yeah, Craig was always in the mindset of, like, just try something, and if it doesn't work out, ask for forgiveness, or, like, apologise for it later. But as long as you've tried, that's what Craig wanted.
And that kind of that lends itself quite well to this whole podcast thing that we've been doing. You know, there's a website literally dedicated to all of the programs and plans and investments that Google have made over the years, and it's a list of hundreds, if not thousands, of different projects that they've tried and completely canned. You know, yeah, and there'd be millions of dollars spent, hundreds and hundreds of man hours. So I guess with this podcast, it was a thought experiment to begin with, and you just, rather than kind of being an architect and really drawing out all the plans of exactly how we're going to do this podcast, what we're going to do, it, what was the exact, like, we changed the name of it, we've formats have kind of matured, I guess, to some extent. Our artwork and things and whatnot has changed, but we never kind of sat down and said, oh, this is the plan for the podcast, this is the audience we're going to talk about, this is the niche, this is the thing. It was like, here's a microphone, Neil, should we just have a chat?
Yeah.
It's worked out all right.
I know, because it started off as the Greenhorn podcast of just us chatting, but then it kind of developed into, well, we're both dads, we're both developing, so...
Exactly. Shall we skip the how are yous? Because let's be honest, I mean, I haven't done anything. Have you done anything this week?
No, I think we should carry on with how are yous, Gordon. I think it's
all right. Fine. Okay. All right. Well, if it is a tradition as part of the podcast, then you know, I think I'm just trying to lend myself to retention of some kind.
Anyway, how are you doing, Gordon?
I'm fine. Yes. For those who are potentially new listeners, we always ask each other how we've been getting on and what we've been up to. So, to be honest, I haven't really done much since we last spoke. I did have an official first football practice for Olivia.
Nice.
So she's had her first little football practice thing, and she got a little kit, and she was wearing it and everything. And you know, there's kind of like a, I don't know, there's a freshness and a kind of uniqueness and a just those kind of micro moments you get with your first kid or your kids. That's kind of, it's a level of happiness that you're like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Never felt that before. And yeah. I don't know where else you get that from. Like that's, you know, there's, as an adult, you essentially, like, Olivia thinks puddles are some of the greatest things that have ever been created, right? But because I've lived on this planet for 35, going on 36 years, puddles are not really that much of an interest to me. In fact, they're a bit of a nuisance. So it's kind of interesting. As you age, you just kind of become quite numb to the beauty of the world, I guess. And a child really kind of reignites that interest and fun in so many little things that just seem completely mundane in your whole life. And even doing something like going to playing football, of which I've done hundreds of times over my lifetime, the fact that I went with my daughter, who gets ridiculously excited at any sight of a ball-shaped thing to kick, then it just feels incredible. So yeah, I guess that's a highlight. The rest of the week's just been work and other bits and pieces, so... That'll do for my philosophical speech.
It was on a Chris Williamson podcast where there's some study. I don't know how the study was done or what it was, but anyway, somebody came up with, like, your life doesn't feel fulfilled until you have that family and have kids. I think there's a level of something missing if you just go through life with no kids and no kind of, I don't know, family unit. And I definitely get that. Like, if I look back and the moments I've shared with my kids, and it's just, it's a new level of happiness, like you said, that you just can't find anywhere else and you can't really describe it. It's nice.
Yep. How was your week, Neil, apart from getting COVID for about the 74th time?
Who knows if it's COVID? Don't have a test. Didn't test. But yeah, it was annoying because it was meant to be a really good week in London. We're kind of kicking off with this customer, this new client, and it's been in the works for months and months and months. So anyway, I make my way to the airport on Monday morning, feeling pretty rubbish, to be honest. Like, the night before, really bad fever. Rebecca was like, I don't think you should go. I was like, no, I'm just gonna go. I'm just gonna do it. The worst that's gonna happen is I come home the same night and I just do the meeting, which was on the Monday. Anyway, I got to the airport, and just before security, I just felt like I was going to collapse. I was like, I can't do this. So ended up getting a taxi home, and then was in bed for 2.5 days, just feeling absolutely minging. Didn't actually make the meeting remotely either. So my boss had to do it for me, which was nice of her. But yeah, I just felt sorry for myself. But now I'm on and up, and the week's just kind of merged into one big thing. Rebecca's kind of held the house together, managed the kids and stuff. But I'm off today, which is nice. Sun is shining. Brewdog AGM tomorrow. So things are looking up.
What a dad life. You know, I got sick. Wife's health report down. Still feeling a bit sick. Went for a run, and then tomorrow I'm going to drink lots of beer.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Right. So a top 1% podcast. That this was kind of off the back of a few different conversations, I think, or things that I've been listening to or seeing, which also kind of expands into this kind of idea of why do people quit so early? You know, why do they give up on something where, you know, they don't just continue? And I guess this is it's interesting to probably explore that, but then also potentially interesting to explore how we've managed to get to a top 1% in the world podcast without really actually having any level of success beyond 30 listeners per episode. I think, for reply of context, it started off, generally speaking, with the podcast I was listening to from Chris Williamson. I think he has a Modern Wisdom podcast, which is pretty big in the UK. And it was kind of looking at this whole premise that if you get past or you publish more than 20 episodes, so if you publish 21 episodes of a podcast, you're essentially in the top 1% of all published podcasts, which is 21 episodes. Like literally, like that's not a long time. You know, it's 5 months of one a week. That's it.
Yeah.
And then there was like kind of more bits and pieces that came out. So you look at, there was a BBC article yesterday that kind of talked about, you know, half of podcasts have three or more episodes. So like 4 million podcasts worldwide, only 2 million get past three episodes. And then only 720,000 of those get past 10 episodes. And again, it's such a short period of time. It's not even a year. Like it's not even 1 year of worth of like trying to do something. And it kind of baffled me. I don't know how you feel about that. How did you feel when you read that article I sent you yesterday?
Yeah, I thought it was just really eye-opening, and it scares me for our kids that, I don't know, the generations that are coming on now just have such a poor attention span or such a poor, I don't know, long-term game plan. That just seems to be like very, like fritter things away, oh, let's come up with an idea, or oh, let's forget about that and do something else, or oh, it's not getting any likes or any follows or any clicks. Then I need to do something else. It's kind of very transactional instead of long term, which does worry me for my kids.
Do you not think that that's always been the case? Like, because you're doing the grass is greener thing where you're like, oh, you know, in my day, like, I had a great attention span and I was, you know, I was really good at just like, I'd have an idea and I would succeed with it. Do you think that's a modern problem or just a human problem?
I don't know. I think it's more of a modern problem. I think by looking at the likes of TikTok and stuff, our attention spans are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So that has that leads us on to just not keeping ideas in our head just not like dedicating time if something doesn't look like it's going to be a success, which I think
That's an interesting package to play with. It's because the definition of success has changed now because of the quantity of of what we see as success. You know, like if we walked down the street and said, "Hey, we only get 30 listens per episode, roughly speaking. Do you think we have a successful podcast?" And people would be like, what's that comparing to? Well, Stephen Bartlett, the Diary of a CEO, gets like 10 million downloads a month. Nah, that's not a successful podcast. Okay, well, what if I framed it like this? Well, we have a podcast in the top 1% of podcasts because we publish every single week and we have done for 71 episodes. Oh, okay. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess with the amount of media that we're consuming, we now define and accept success as different to what it was probably when our grandfathers were kicking around, right?
Yeah, and if we carry on with that kind of analogy of, if you look at like a Mr. Beast video, they're getting like hundreds of millions of views now. Whereas 5 years ago, a video that gets a million views or 100,000 views was doing really well. But now the really well is defined as, well, it needs to be 10 million or more because you've got these kind of unicorns that are smashing it. So
yeah, and that prevents you from starting, I guess, from some extent.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, your kind of first analysis was the idea that our attention spans are really low and we're just not fundamentally committing to something. But then what, more on a positive note, is do you not think that we have the opportunity to start lots of new things now compared to back in the day? So back in the day, you would either work in a coal mine or you'd work in a factory or you'd be a farmer or whatever else, right? Those were your choices. You know, you had a very small level of choice, and your ability to move up and down the social ladder of the upper class, middle class, and lower class was actually quite difficult because, you know, your education was probably limited. So that then limited the amount of things that you could do, the inspiration that you had. So from like your parents through to maybe some cousins and uncles and things, or a little village that you're in, that was your influence, right? That's the only thing. So you're like, if to have an idea was kind of a bit bonkers, or it was also just not really thought of because the people that you hung around with. Whereas now we have such an opportunity, like anyone can start a podcast. Like you can, anyone certainly with a phone in their pocket and an internet connection can start a podcast. And I guess part of that is then that ability to have so much choice and so many ideas and so many things you can do that perhaps leads to the idea that
people just try something else.
Yeah, there's something else to try, and rather than commit to something, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, and like, I don't think it's a good thing having so much, having it so easy now. So like, we can now use ChatGPT to program websites or make websites. I don't know if I agree. I don't know if that's the life I want my kids to live.
No, there's certainly a bit of like skin in the game, working hard, you know, grinding, hustling, like doing all the things and the hard labor. I would say that from this whole fitness industry thing where there's online coaches just become online coaches. They've never worked on the gym floor. And part of me is like, that's amazing. You don't have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go and train a client because it's really hard, or work till 9 p.m. at night. You don't have to have cancellations of clients all the time and wasting time and all these kind of things. And you can work remotely. You can do anywhere in the world if you want to. But I do agree that there's some part of, like, there's a balance between actually doing the thing and working with human beings in person, like touching and moving and helping and instructing and talking and all those kind of things, and social skills that lend itself very well. You know, there's that hard balance, like you say, like you're kind of describing, where part of me is like, it's unbelievable the choice that our kids have now to be able to just not have to go to university, spend £9,000 per year, and result in joining a corporate ladder that they don't want to do, that they're not interested. Like, it's not fun. It's not fun to be a cog in a wheel of a 10,000 person organization. What's actually fun is making your own money and then finding out how to do that. And then all these opportunities like ChatGPT, you can now create a business around helping, teaching people how to use AI.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. I think the abundance of choice is helpful and not helpful, but we're lucky enough, both of us, in where we traverse that tightrope of, we remember cassette players, but now we live in a world of AI, right?
Yeah, yeah. But our kids will just remember AI.
No, but that's the whole point of having a parent. That's the whole point of having grandparents, right? They kind of poke you and remind you of the past.
Yeah.
Because they are a physical, they're there, they're right in front of you. It's not a book, it's not a movie, it's not a TV program. It's basically like there's someone who lived through that. Like we had, when we had our grandfather, not that he necessarily talked about the war, but he did a little bit. And that gave me an opportunity to understand perhaps more deeply the true cost of what that was.
Yeah. It's, I guess, taking it back to how have we managed to carry on doing 71 episodes?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think's the kind of the number one thing that's helped us reach?
I don't think there's one thing that helps people succeed in terms of being consistent. I think it's a measure of a few things. Probably the start of it is to roughly have probably no expectations of this of a project beyond something that's quite a simple perhaps mission.
Yeah, that's fair. But then having boundaries or having set things like we're going to publish every Monday and we're going to do one episode a week.
Sure, sure. But if there was, like, that's an expectation, sure. And that's like a commitment. I don't think it's even an expectation. I think it's actually called a commitment. But an expectation to me would be like, if I'm not getting 1,000 downloads, then
yeah.
I'm not interested. Or it has to be 2 hours long, or it has to be all these things. Yeah, it doesn't. And I didn't feel that way. I was just like, let's just try it out. Let's see what happens. There's no expectations. Like, there's nothing for us to lose in this path apart from, like, the asymmetrical risk that I saw in this was only upside. There's literally no downside. You know, maybe I don't spend an hour doing something else. Okay. Like, there's plenty of things that I waste time doing. So I think expectations started with that. And, you know, there's a few examples of these big podcasts, like Alex Hormozi's Game Plan podcast, Chris Williamson's Diary of a CEO podcast. They all took like 2 or 3 or 4 years before they ever saw any type of traction whatsoever. You know, they again, probably set very low expectations for what they were doing. They maybe had the vision and the idea, oh, that'd be really cool if that would happen. That's a nice, like, high-level dream.
Mm.
But for me, for them and for me, it was just kind of a case of, let's just make this thing. And maybe you define a low-level mission of some kind or some sort of mission that helps you. Like, I think Alex or Moses was to share how to build a business to young people so they don't have to follow a path that they don't want to. He can help educate them. I think Chris Williamson's was just an evolution of something. I think he wanted to have higher level conversations about things that he couldn't in his current life because he was a club promoter. And then I assume that Stephen Bartlett just kind of started it because he was going on a journey of running a company, and he wanted to kind of talk about it because he probably learned from other people and other bits and pieces around that. And then it goes from there, right? So the expectations of both of these three podcasts were just like, yeah, we're just going to do this thing, right? And see what happens.
Yeah. And now they're, some of the three of the biggest in the world. Steve Bartlett's one's quite interesting. So I remember listening to I was kind of an avid follower of him before he was even famous. And his podcast was actually recorded on his phone. And he used to just like sit like this in his bedroom and speak into it. And that was it. And then he'd hit publish and there'd be no editing, there'd be no adverts on it. And it was when Social Chain was kind of going through its IPO and selling out and stuff. But yeah, it's just fascinating how these, if you look at how these started with no expectations, no real boundaries, they just went for it. No fancy kit, no fancy technology.
Isn't that cool though? We can now look back on individuals that have now, you know, quote unquote made it with their thing. And we can look back to the first episode of A Diary of a CEO. We can look all the way back to the first Joe Rogan podcast. We can look all the way back to the first Chris Williamson Modern Wisdom podcast. And it's that's cool though, isn't it? Do you like that?
I love looking at it. And even Mr. Beast videos, his first ever videos come up, and it's just him in like a really, like a, almost like a shack in some kind of down, like weird city in America. Not weird city, I shouldn't say that. But he lives in quite a rough kind of bedroom, and it's just him like building a computer or something, all the way up to now where he's getting hundreds of millions of views. It's like seeing that journey is just fascinating. And I think hopefully it's going to help people in terms of seeing where they've come from. Okay, and now they've done like, I don't know, 10,000 videos. So that's taken them 10,000 videos to get to just where he is now. So it almost shows the hard work that's gone into it.
Yeah, and that's a nice thing to see, because then it becomes, it's kind of realistic. You know, it's not like a movie star who all you now see is them on the big screen, right? And they're doing a big movie. And you think, oh, there's no way that I can get there, because they are special. They have something unique about them. But now we operate in this world where you can start something, and it might become something. But when it does, you can literally see the progress, and you can be like, oh, these are the steps that they took to get there. So they're very much more human. They're much more normal, like me. You know, Stephen Bartlett with his phone. Again, it goes back to that point that anybody could start this thing and do this thing. It just has to have some level of consistency and time attached to it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think having somebody that you're accountable to as well. So I don't think this would be as successful as it is if it wasn't for me and you doing it together. If I just turned out to Rebecca and said, I'm going to do a podcast and I'm going to try and get some guests or I'm going to do a solo one, it would probably last 20 episodes or if that, maybe 3 episodes. So having accountability.
I think you're right. You're definitely right there on, like, there's 2 factors to that, right? There is the collaboration aspect, which makes you accountable. So you can still be accountable to guests because you've allocated a time, you've had them wanted to turn up and have a conversation of some kind. But guests can be human beings and they can have other commitments that can happen and they have to cancel and change and move things around, which ultimately sort of leans into this thing that I also think is important, is lowering the barrier to entry to creating a podcast, to doing something like this, to recording something. And for me, when I was thinking about the idea of a podcast, I knew that having to organize guests and talk to guests and do all the guest thing is way more complicated and way more challenging and way more difficult than organizing something with a co-host like a brother, right? You can just sit there, have a conversation, talk to each other, and the whole thing just kind of works and balances, and it just is so much better than having a guest because we have a conversation, right? And it's just the two of us and we can text each other and be like, yeah, I'll turn up this time or that time or whatever else. So yeah, the collaboration thing's big important. And I think definitely doing it on our own would have been much more challenging.
Yeah, I agree. So is there anything else you think that's helped us get to the top 1%?
That we could probably expand on that, lowering the barrier to entry.
Yeah.
Because... If I'd told you to, you'd have to come to me every single time we'd record a podcast, it's not going to work, is it?
I agree. Yeah.
So how could we do it? We're lucky in this age where podcasting is super popular. So we use this Riverside technology that works most of the time. It's not bad, but it's just technology works, right? So you're finding technology to help make the job easier. And Riverside is one of those because it's just a click a link, you sign up to it, it's like 10, 20 quid a month, and it records a high quality sound thing, high quality video, and it's pretty seamless, pretty super easy to use. So I think that's probably the first one. Is there anything that you find has helped lower the barrier to entry for you to start recording a podcast?
I think having it remotely obviously is a big thing. I guess the kit that I have is this microphone I bought off Gumtree from some guy in Glasgow. This thing is Amazon, but it's like 20 quid. So like, I think the whole setup is probably just under 100, including the microphone. So that's
so money.
Easy. Yeah, money was a factor because you could look at fancy microphones that cost a lot. I mean, this new, I think, is 180, but I got it secondhand. It's just... AirPods, already had them.
So. Do you not think so? Even go further than that. Like, we originally had microphones on stands, and you found that you were having to set it up or do it somewhere specific and whatever else. But now you've got like a handheld microphone where you're just like, I'll just plug it into the computer and off we go.
Yeah, it's easy. I have thought about and like looked at it a few times trying to get one for my phone, so I could just have my phone like here and then use that. And I think that might, because Riverside's got a good app for phones. That would definitely limit it because we've also talked about doing it on the train. Wonder how that would sound.
Oh yeah.
And little things like that. So I think, don't set expectations of like really, really high quality. Although you can get high quality with not much investment. So
I think so. I think that was one barrier that I think I did kind of propose was that I did want it to sound really good. Because it's a podcast and I do want people to listen to it. Like that's still, even though I said that don't expect expectations, there's still part of it where like, I still want it to be good because that's kind of just the person I am. So it was kind of,
I turn off podcasts if the guest that's speaking, like Tim Ferriss has some awful audio quality ones because maybe the local microphones failed, so he's had a backup Skype or whatever. But I just can't listen to it. It just sounds really tinny and really off. So it ends up putting me off. And I've had a lot of friends and a lot of people that have listened to this and thought the audio quality is really good. And you actually feel immersed in the conversation and it's a lot better.
So that's definitely been an important part. But like you say, like the technology aspect that's required is actually pretty cost effective. It's easy to set up and you get the highest bang for buck recording that we can get. And I think that's a big part of it. Definitely the handheld microphone has made a big difference for you. I've got a setup at home, which is attached to a desk that I use anyway. So it's quite easy just to plug it in and off I go. But I do also have a handheld version that if I do want to sort of chill out and sit on the sofa, I can do that. And then also like the record, like the editing aspect of it was super important to me, to being super simple. Because I know you talked about a friend who'd started a podcast. Do you want to tell that story?
Yeah. So he's a new colleague at work started, and he found out that I had a podcast, and he was like, wow, I can't believe you're at episode number 60 at the time or whatever. And he had one, and he said that he used to spend, I don't know, 2 or 3 days like going second by second, cutting out all the ums and ums and like all the awkward silences and stuff like that, just doing it himself in iMovie. And now we have technology and Gordon can talk about it, but yeah, he spent days just on, and he only made it to episode number 4 or 5, so he's not done that well.
and that's it, there's a, you know, I feel like there's a certain thing with us is done is better than perfect.
Yeah,
you know, this is a conversation between me and you. Again, going back to the expectation thing, like if nobody listens to this, it doesn't matter. We've got a little bit of a mission that we do, but at the end of the day, it was a conversation to two of us and then for our kids to listen back to us having a conversation on a podcast when they're all grown up and they want to find out what we were up to, or even our grandkids. So with that, it's kind of like if it's an om and an ah comes out of this, or I don't sound perfect or whatever else, I don't care.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
So that already cuts out the whole editing thing. Like, I do not edit this podcast beyond improving the audio quality. And yeah, that's important. And then the second one is, how can I make sure that the edit of the podcast, if I do want it to sound really, really good, and I want to get it on the platforms and all that kind of thing, then the first one was we use Simplecast to distribute the podcast. So that goes across all of the Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, whatever else. What other platforms that do podcasting? I don't know. So that distributes all across there, which is super handy. So you just upload it, write something, and then send it off. To edit the podcast audio, I use something called Auphonic, which takes both the files that come from Riverside and then basically just makes them sound really nice. It's like an AI editing podcasty platform, and it's brilliant. It's great. It really does help enhance the audio quality from what we record with this. And again, it's pretty cheap. Doesn't cost much, like £8 a month or something. And then I guess I already have the skills to be able to create a YouTube video to be able to upload onto YouTube, which again takes me 5 minutes. But you could equally just do it through Riverside and export a YouTube, high quality YouTube thing, and have it uploaded if you want to. And there's stuff like, I'm going to try and do a better thumbnail for this YouTube video to see if it improves, because I think YouTube are starting to push podcasts, and I'll see how long that takes me. It adds on to the, I guess, the cost and time that we need for editing a podcast. But yeah, generally that lower barrier to entry, using technology, giving myself a time limit of like 15, 20 minutes to get this podcast edited and up, has worked really well. And yeah, lowering expectations and lowering barriers to entry do a lot for getting through to 71 episodes.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And you soon find ways to refine the process. Now we've got it down to a fine art. But before we used to, like, I don't know, did we always start with Riverside? I feel like we've gone through different platforms.
Nah, we used something else. It was pretty, that was rubbish. But that's nuances. Also, like, there's a certain part of this is like accepting that not everything is going to be perfect.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what certainly the likes of Tim Ferriss and stuff, he just runs with still, I don't think he has much of a team behind him. And yeah, he just runs with it, but he's got one of the biggest podcasts in the world, which
yeah, is pretty cool. And that goes to the idea of like publish it and then iterate over time rather than planning everything out, trying to work out what's the best for this, the best for that, or it simply was a case of, I was like, Neil, let's do a podcast on this day and turn up and we'd have a couple of beers and have a chat, and that was it, and then publish it.
Yeah,
that's it. That's always been the philosophy, and we've got better, haven't we? We've got better at planning, we've got better at having these conversations, having them more confidently, enjoying them more, coming up with better ideas. And that's just been a case of the fact that because we've published and published and published and published and then maybe tried something else a little bit every so often, and now we're at kind of a point where it works and it's absolutely fine. Whereas like your friend at work has kind of obviously thought a lot about what it could be and then what it needs to be, and then tried to progress too hard, too fast, which then just becomes a pain and it's annoying. It's not fun anymore. And he'd be much better just publishing the thing and then maybe tweaking it a little bit or finding something else to help or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, looking back over the last 71 episodes, have you got any favourites?
Favourites? I don't know. I do prefer the in-person versions.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. Just because, I've always thought conversations in person are way better than on a screen, like way better. There's just not the same type of thing. It's just not the same feeling, nuance, everything about it's just different. So I guess any podcast we've ever done in person. So it's like, you know, I say that the lower barrier to entry, have a co-host and whatever else, and that's probably going to mean that you'll have to do it online because the convenience is just so much higher, right? It's just so much easier for us to have this conversation. But if you do have a co-host and you work with them, then to consider having some levels of in-person because they become a fun thing to do. Like we've gone to London Bridge and had some beers and did a podcast. And we've gone to the new Brewdog opening that had a podcast thing, which although it was crap and worse than our own cell, it was still an adventure. It was still a thing to do. We did a 360 walking podcast. You know, we've done all sorts of things and that feels pretty good. So those are my favorites for sure.
Yeah, I would say, and like I've mentioned this in a few podcasts where it's like, this also gives me a chance to think about my thoughts in terms of, I don't know, we've done pretty deep podcasts like the meaning of happiness and what's fulfillment as a dad and those kind of things, which I don't think you'd normally think about if you weren't doing this podcast. And I guess I actually haven't mentioned it on this episode, but another reason of the why for me anyway, and I think you've mentioned it, is so our kids have something to look back at, which I guess it's a goal that doesn't involve any, so it's not like we need to have 1,000 views a podcast to make it a success. The success in my eyes is to have some kind of library where if I'm not here in a few years' time, or hopefully, or if when I'm not around, my grandkids,
few years,
my kids have something to look back on and something to kind of remember me by, and my values and my, what goes in my head and what I've been up to. I think that's really powerful. Just making it quite personal, and it's not like an external thing.
But that's the mission, right? That's the thing that I talked about, where if you have something that's getting you up in the morning to do it, then there has to be all this other stuff. There has to be all the things like lower barrier to entry, skill and whatever else, blah, blah, blah. But we have that little bit of a thing. They're like, well, we're doing a good thing here. This is why we're doing it. You know? Yeah. The publish thing, collaborate thing. I think there is one thing that I think we've needed is the Monday upload.
Yeah.
It's like, it has to come out on a Monday morning. I schedule it for 6:45. It usually comes out at like 7 o'clock once the platforms have been spread out and it's gone out somewhere. But I do feel like having that is there is a firm deadline. There's something like, we have to publish something because that's made us make content, hasn't
last minute on a Sunday. Yeah, I agree.
And I don't think if we didn't have that, because there's the mission thing, there's the low expectations, there's the low barrier entry, but there's a commitment. There's like, we're going to upload on a Monday, and that's definitely driven forward. And if you don't have that, that's something that says you do this on this day at this time. I think that's why perhaps people fail, maybe probably to some extent. Like there's a bunch of stuff, there's a concoction, a cocktail of things. But if you don't set a specific deadline, like your exams or my bodybuilding show or a wedding day, you know, like these kind of things that people go through transformations for, you just need that publish day, you know, that day where you're like, I'm going to turn up. Because have you had people message you when we don't publish on a Monday?
Yeah, there's been a couple, which is quite nice. It's just like, oh, you're looking out for it. But it's almost like a habit now. It's like a weekly habit. And they say that if you stop doing something two times in a row, or if you stop doing it more than two times in a row, then that's it. You may as well, you've got a new habit that is kind of replaced the old one. So I think people may set a goal of like, right, I'll do it every Monday, but then miss it and then miss it again. The chances of them getting back to that Monday is probably very, very slim. So I guess the motto of the story is don't miss one. Or if you do miss one, pick it up again.
But then I guess we've had months where we've been super ahead of ourselves. So we've been able to have like 2 or 3 weeks off actually podcasting. So I think there's a balance there.
Like, yeah, true.
It's been nice when we've been way ahead of podcast episodes and we haven't had to, you know, kind of pick ourselves up and be like, hey, you got to do this thing. Sometimes it's been nice to have a little break because we've recorded like 3 or 4 podcasts in a week or two. So I guess there's a balance there. There's like, I am going to commit to it, but it's okay having a schedule and a plan ahead where you've already set up a bunch of episodes that are going to be published and you can take some time off because, you know, what is it again? When you don't see someone for a while, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get that. And it weirdly feels nice. It's a Friday. It's going to go out on Monday. We've actually got some time. We don't have to stress or. But it'd be nice.
You don't have to do anything. You just got to turn up for an hour to do the podcast. That's the one that's got to like edit it and then upload it.
I do the reels now. The reels have been doing well.
Well done.
Thanks.
So is there anything else as part of this podcast you feel like has meant that we've got into the top 1% somehow?
Yeah, I think, as I mentioned, the biggest thing is having somebody that you're accountable to is everything you've mentioned, low barrier to entry and stuff, but having the accountability is a big, big thing because we've all been there. I'm going to do this thing or I'm going to put out one bit of content every day or whatever, but having someone accountable that you're going to speak to is the biggest driver. I think if you try and do a solo podcast, you're going to be challenging because you're going to be tired one day. Or I mean, there've been loads of opportunities for us to cancel, but because we're going to cancel on each other, it doesn't feel that good. So yes. Just you get through it.
Yeah, it is. There's a vlogger on YouTube, an old school vlogger called Emma Chamberlain, and she didn't upload for a long time on YouTube, and she's now signed a deal with like Spotify, I think, for a podcast, and it's doing really, really well apparently on Spotify. But I imagine the money has been a large motivator to get her to turn up every single day and do the thing.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about how that then influences her long-term kind of progress with the podcast. I'd be fascinated how that works.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know that vlogger, but yeah, the fact she's come back for a podcast deal is quite interesting. But you hear some of these. I mean, Joe Rogan got offered a crazy amount of money to be exclusive to Spotify.
100 million or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it's just, yeah, it's mad the money involved now. And I think the article you sent me yesterday mentioned the size, it's something like 100 billion or something for the UK, the size of the
I could tell you.
The industry.
Yeah, it is massive, and it's growing, but the amount of podcasts is shrinking. So the amount of active podcasts in 2020 was about 59% of the amount that had been published was active. Now it's 17.7%.
Wow. I didn't catch that one. That's mad.
Which is pretty, it's pretty massive. I mean, that just goes to show that it's just dropped so much in terms of people kind of giving it a go and then just not carrying on, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people that don't listen to podcasts. So there's still a lot of people out there that maybe haven't found a good one or haven't found one. So.
Well, over 60% of people in America have listened to at least one podcast.
Wow.
So that's 180 million people.
Yeah.
It's pretty big. That's pretty big. So yeah, the UK media in 2023 with global revenue in music, radio and podcast market projected to reach $100 billion before the end of the year.
I didn't realize it included music, but still, podcasts.
Yeah, music, radio, yeah, something like that. UK media. So yeah, 100 billion.
For the year, wow.
It's pretty good. But yeah, it does show that it can be a large part of it. And like I said, my weird kind of like side thing would be like to pay Neil's mortgage through sponsorship of the podcast. So if we can get our 30 listeners to 300,000 listeners, then maybe we get somewhere.
Yeah. Because I mean, what's the, you know the market better than me, but what's a, what's an ad in a podcast, like a Steve Bartlett podcast? What would you say?
Well, so Ali's podcast does 25,000 downloads a week. So about 100,000 downloads a month. And his podcast this year generated £130,000.
Wow.
So that kind of gives you a bit of a scope, I guess. So maybe your earnings are about 10% of the total listeners for the year in pounds.
Yeah, okay.
So at present, we'll get £150. But yeah, so that gives you a bit of an idea, I guess, of what it's worth. And Stephen Bartlett's one he'll probably generate over $1 million.
Yeah.
On his one. But then he has 30 people working for him.
Mad.
So yeah, it's like a nice thought. And I guess Joe Rogan's a good example of it, where he just kind of started doing the podcast for fun. Like, it was just because he wanted to do it, have interesting conversations, and then now it's turned into £100 million investment.
Yeah, yeah. But you look at Tim Ferriss, I don't think he's got a big production team behind him. He's probably got maybe 10 max. But I think he'll be taking in a lot of money. And,
oh, yes.
So you don't really need that big team. You can still have a profitable podcast, a very profitable podcast with...
And this is everything about it, right? We were kind of talking about the idea of barrier to entry. There's a certain point where it just doesn't become fun anymore, right? It now becomes you're a presenter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where Stephen Bartlett, for example, he has a videographer specifically who's operating like 7 or 8 cameras at once for the podcast, you know, which is bonkers. You know, does he need all of that? Probably not.
Yeah. Now he's doing lives as well.
It's all those kind of things. So I guess there's a balance. And for me, the balance would be if we had an editor and then we had a studio and then someone filmed it for us, that would be fine too. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe we get to that point. I did try and find Alex Hormozi's PA to see if I could get him on our podcast. That'd be funny.
Wow.
Because it's like I've got a connection through Ali, so it's there's some level where I can be like, yeah, you spoke to Ali. I mean, our podcast has absolutely no views or listens, but you know, you started somewhere, so
yeah. I know, it would be cool to get somebody famous on. I don't know how I'd manage it.
But we had Ali on. He's our second most listened to podcast episode.
What was our first? Our first episode.
Our first episode, yeah. The stats on the podcast, if anyone's actually interested in this. We've had, I think, 3,800 downloads or something in total. Where are we at? View analytics. All-time downloads, 3,864.
We're approaching the 4,000 mark.
We are approaching the 4,000 mark. Our average sort of downloads per episode, you know, is roughly the kind of... At the moment, it's about 30-ish. So it's kind of grown, I guess. Most listened to was our episode 1, 215 downloads. Ali's was 162. And then the rest are all kind of like 96, 83, 82. Interestingly, the episode 25 is number 8 on our most listened to of Hard Moments Being a Dad at 74 downloads.
Wow.
Spotify and Apple Podcasts are the largest by some margin. Spotify is like 52% of all of our listeners come from Spotify, and then Apple's next at 25%.
Yeah. Just on that Spotify topic, have you seen the series called Playlist on Netflix?
No.
Oh, it's basically about how Spotify started, and it's based on the true events. It's mad.
Cool.
Really mad. So I'd recommend that.
The cool thing about this analytics thing we have as well, we get a heat map of where people have downloaded things. So this week we've had 2 listeners in Cape Town.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must be, I don't know who they are.
1 listener in Hong Kong. 1 listener in Australia.
Wow.
And we've had, we've got a listener in Germany, I think, Goth, something like that.
Rebecca's got family out in Australia. I wonder if that's them.
Some people in Inveruri are listening to the podcast, the Inveruri Massive. And then a bunch around the UK in London, Manchester kind of area. Yeah, it's pretty much that. We get some Americans and things listening to it as well. every so often. I do wonder who these people are. Like, how do they discover our podcast? Like, how do they get into it and find it and start listening to it?
Yeah, and why do they listen is my more interesting
thing. Yeah, what's the point? Why are you listening to two weirdos on the internet?
Well, nobody's listening now. It's like
We've had over the all-time aspect of this podcast, we've had two people in Hawaii listen to it.
Wow.
We've had get a bunch of people in like Abu Dhabi and Dubai. I know one of them in Dubai. He messaged me quite a lot. Like all across Norway, Sweden, all across obviously the UK, Ireland.
Anyone in Russia? It'd be quite weird.
None in Russia, no. Bucharest.
Oh.
I don't know what the country this is. Tbilisi. Baku. We've had someone from Azerbaijan listening to the podcast.
That could be one of my fellow dad friends.
There we go.
He worked offshore. There.
In India. Delhi. We've had Hanoi, Vietnam. A couple of people there. Shanghai. Had six people in Shanghai listening to the pod.
Wow.
Beijing. Had someone in Beijing. Philippines, Singapore, Malaysia, different parts of Australia, all across Australia, New Zealand.
New Zealand might be the people we went to school with. They moved out there.
Flickin' Flack, where's that?
What is
an
that
island like in the middle of nowhere.
Canada somewhere?
It is, no, it's a seaside village in the west of Mauritius. We've had someone in Mauritius listening to our podcast.
Wow. They must be on holiday or some in honeymoon. Or
need, I know. Need tuning to, into our podcast.
Dad's fix.
Well, I do think. Oh, we've had Costa Rica. There you go. Look at that. Brazil as well. Anyway, and America, all across America.
International.
Into Iceland. We've had Iceland listeners. Anyway, right. I'm going off on one now, aren't I? Do you want me to close it out, Neil, or do you want to do it?
You can close it out.
Oh, glorious. Well, hopefully you enjoyed that stats-driven end to the pod. Yes, we do in fact have a podcast in the top 1% of podcasts. Yeah, it's been a fantastic journey so far. I've really enjoyed it. We're on episode 71, so approaching 18 months, I think, roughly, Neil, nearly coming up to it for podcasting, and long may it continue. If you do enjoy listening to us in your ear holes, if you're listening to it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever weird platform you're listening to on otherwise, if you, of the 3.5 listeners that have got to this end point, then by all means, check us out on YouTube. I'll upload it on there and you can see our shiny, sexy faces on that and listen to us chatting about all things dad life. We also have some system, apparently, Neil says, to upload reels onto Instagram, and they come up every so often, so he's managed to start doing that. So if you can follow us on Instagram, Developing Dads, you can check out any of the snippets and things from the podcast, and even comment and tell us how amazing or crap this podcast is in your life. Is that it, Neil?
What? I think that's fine.
Anything else?
Oh, yeah, cool. Leave us a 5-star review on Spotify, it'd be nice.
Five-star review.
There's actually, there's something on Spotify, I don't know, I need to figure out how to do it, but you can actually send questions now through Spotify podcasts. So
right, that's a job for you, Neil.
Figure out how to do that.
Yes, please do. All right, well, I hope you have a great rest of your week, and yeah, we'll see you in the next episode. Cheers.
Thank you, bye.